This is an extraordinary session because we have the honor and the pleasure to meet Irina Bokova, who was just elected the head of UNESCO a few weeks ago. Thank you. The first woman ever to have been elected to such a position. It is an honor for the Women Forum to greet you here, Irina Bokova, in these very busy days before you take over the job, because your presence here enlivens the commitment the Women Forum has taken since its creation to support education and science for women all over the world. Thank you again for having accepted so generously our invitation. You are known as a very talented intellectual and political personality, a strong political figure in Bulgaria, your country, where you served as a member of parliament for many years and occupied many important political positions, including a Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And you have been known for a long time, since 2005, to the French public, because you were appointed at that time ambassador of the Republic of Bulgaria to France and to Monaco. And at the time of your election at UNESCO, UNESCO was a familiar place to you because you have been since 2005 permanent delegate of Bulgaria to UNESCO. Seeing a woman elected as the head of an international organization as important as UNESCO was a rejoice for many, women and men, because it shows that women are now in a position to contribute world politics at the highest level and further the advancement of education, culture and science. But for you, who in a very talented, courageous and determined fashion went through a difficult election process with clear ideas and goodwill, how do you consider it significant to have been elected as the first woman to head UNESCO?
Thank you very much, Monique, and thank you for this kind invitation to come to the Women's Forum. In fact, this is my first public appearance participating in a debate after the election by the General Conference 2 days ago. That was the reason I couldn't come on the 15th. So when I received the invitation, I said, well, definitely I could come probably the last day on the 17th, but for me it was extremely important to come to your forum. I thank you for the kind words. I think that being a woman, the first woman, apart from, of course, feeling of pride to lead this organization, is also an extremely important message. It's an extremely important symbol to all women all over the world, because this is the organization within the United Nations system, which very often is being called like the conscience of humanity, the moral guardian and the intellectual guardian of certain values. And I think that it's important that a woman is there after more than 60 years of existence of this organization. It's a signal to all women that women can have access to power, not only nationally but also internationally. It's a good message for women who don't have access to education. It's a good a message to women who don't have access to information, because I think that these two extremely important messages, access to power and to knowledge and to information, are my messages also to women all over the world.
But precisely, your election is momentous because with your election that means that there will be two very important international organizations, World Health Organization and UNESCO, will be headed by women. So now, of course, women are reaching very high position, but not that often yet the highest. So do you think there is a common awareness that now it is time for women to occupy the position at the top of the top And what are, in your view, what are the obstacles to be overcome?
I think that there is an overall feeling, but this feeling is there, is here for quite some time after all the United Nations conferences on the advancement of women. There was a kind of a momentum, and then I think a little bit there was governments and societies kind of backed up a little bit from this this ambition. I think the obstacles are first that we women have to have more confidence in us, in ourselves, in the fact that we can have ambitions, we can pursue these ambitions, we can do it. And the second, of course, is the overall changing of mentality in our societies. It's extremely important if there are certain stereotypes in the developed world that we have to overcome. And of course, then it's for a lot of countries, it's are obstacles of development, of lack of access to education, of women not having this critical mass of advancing. I think this is extremely important, that not only one woman is making a breakthrough and being elected in certain position. I think that it's extremely important that the majority of women, as more women as possible, have this access to this participation, that we will compete even with men among ourselves to take these positions. I think this is very important.
But in your case, you followed your line in a very determined position, in a very determined fashion, but do you think that it was an advantage for you to be a woman about the election, or an inconvenience, or that it was just irrelevant?
Well, at the time of the campaign, I didn't think much about that, but yeah, I would say that it was an advantage, but at the same time, I would also remind that we were 9 candidates, 4 among them were women, strong women. All women candidates were extremely good women candidates. We were competing among ourselves. We were competing also with men. I think that it was a very good example of equality, of equal approach towards things. So I don't believe that anyone can say, well, she was elected because she was a woman, or she was just preferred because I, with all my respect also to all the other women candidates, I think we all did, women candidates, an extremely good campaign and an extremely good presentation to UNESCO.
And you have a very diversified political background and intellectual and cultural too. You speak many languages. You lived in many countries. And you are quite aware of the plurality of culture and the diversity of our world. And most importantly, you incarnate the idea of and the reality of the making of a Europe, West Europe, the unity of Europe, West Europe, Western Europe, and Eastern Europe united beyond the legacy of the history of the 20th century. All these are wonderful assets for the job, aren't they?
Well, I think yes, to some extent, yes. First of all, of course, it's Eastern Europe, my experience in Eastern Europe. I have often evoked, said that I come from this generation of divided Europe, but also our generation had the historic chance and the historic challenge also to reunite Europe, and I think this is great experience that we had for the last 20 years. And also the particular experience of the country I come from, Bulgaria, because Eastern Europe also is very, very diverse. We are a very kind of a multicultural society, multi-religious, multi-ethnic. We have lived for centuries in this diversity, and I think that will help me a lot at my new job at UNESCO.
Soon after the election results were announced, you said in an interview that you will take as a kind of top priority of as Director General of UNESCO the protection of democratic values, free choice of government, freedom of expression, access to education. But does it mean that in the beginning, at least, your more important concern will be with that part of the world which unfortunately doesn't live up to that democratic experience? And what action will you take to further democratic values?
I did believe that such organization as UNESCO is about values. I believe in the power of ideas. I believe that ideas change societies and transform societies and the world. And this is one of the great assets of UNESCO as an organization that has responsibilities in education, culture, science and communication. I think that the democratic values are strengthened when we have also strong development in societies, when we have access to education, when people are knowledgeable about their rights, including women, because societies can't be changed without education, without access to knowledge. Societies can't be transformed, and including women, they even don't know about their rights and about some other way of living, of values, if they don't access to information and to education. So from that point of view, I think that UNESCO has an extremely, extremely important responsibilities in the current day world. And I'm turning really to those countries and to those regions where UNESCO can help transform and make societies evolve towards the same democratic values.
But may I go a little further on that line, what kind of concrete action will you take? Help free press or help organization or non-governmental organization? What kind of concrete action UNESCO can take in that line?
Well, UNESCO does all this. UNESCO has specific programs in the education and training of journalists, in the overall defending the freedom of press and freedom of expression. Not to say about the programs in the education, which are linked also to knowledge about rights, about these same values. But I think that the underlying idea and the underlying feeling at UNESCO in the international community, especially in the globalized world and especially in times of crisis, I think this is education. It's education, education, education. Education for women, for girls, of course, priorities. Overcome illiteracy, adult education, because nowadays in the world still there are 75 million children which don't go to school, still there are 800 million illiterate people in this world. So I think there should be an enormous effort of the whole international community, and UNESCO is the leader in this effort.
Yes, but precisely, what the role of democratic countries and especially developed countries could be, because they can help in that, not in a patronizing way, but exchanging experiences, sharing with cultural sharing. Cannot UNESCO be more than ever the place for such sharing of experience and a place of encounter for developed countries and underdeveloped countries?
Oh, absolutely. UNESCO is about everybody. It's a universal organization. It's the venue of international cooperation in these areas, and developed countries, apart from a sheer transfer of funds and financing programs, can do a lot of things. I will give you an example. UNESCO has a wonderful cooperation with L'Oréal in giving prizes to women in science all over the world. And I'm very proud and very happy that two of the last year's prize winners of L'Oréal became this year Nobel Prize winners. I think this is wonderful, Professor Blackburn and Professor Yonat in medicine and in chemistry. I think it's a wonderful also a contribution both to L'Oréal. So this is a very good example of a partnership, because you were talking about reaching out to media, to the private sector, to the NGO community. I have said it and I will reconfirm it during my speech I will make on the 23rd inauguration speech, that I will lead a dialogue with the civil society, with the NGO community, with the media, with the private sector. It's extremely important in this interconnected world.
And what about education? UNESCO has a very, very strong commitment to education. And how can UNESCO take action and further its initiatives on that line in a world which is now fast changing and in which education is more important than ever because it gives people the possibility to adapt changes? But in a world which is kind of divided, because on one side you have some kind of digital hypermodernism, And on the other side, you have a deprivation of the poorest without any kind of access to voice and expression. So what the role of education held by UNESCO could be in that?
I share entirely your assessment that there is a huge gap, and the crisis showed that this gap is widening. It's a gap in knowledge, in access to information. As we say, it's a digital gap. And UNESCO has a lot of responsibilities in this area. UNESCO has become, with the Education for All program and with some other initiatives, a leader among all the international organizations, United Nations system organization in the area of education. I think now it's time to make the next step and to link all the stages of education, primary, secondary, higher education, to link it with science. I think science is becoming the big priority of humanity, of the current day world, because it will bring responses and solving problems like climate change or water management or pandemics in different parts of the world. So UNESCO has to become in science the same leader as it is in education among all the UN agencies.
Yet you recall the prizes, the Nobel Prize that Elizabeth Blackburn and Ada Jonas has received, you know, two former laureates of the UNESCO L'Oréal prizes. But will you take specific action for women on that line? And will you try to privilege or to have some kind of specific measures towards scientific innovation oriented to sustainable development?
Yes, my ambition is to make science as one of the priorities of the organization. It's a very strong ambition and a very strong belief that this is expected from UNESCO. And as I mentioned, Oréal, because it's an excellent example of partnership, I would very much like to see such partnerships also with other universities to reach out to the academic community. And because you mentioned women, and I think that women as a horizontal priority at UNESCO, which exists as a kind of a political declaration, is there, but I would like to see it more in real programs, in real projects, in all these partnerships that I intend to establish, and especially, I think, in education in science. It's extremely important because this gives also strength to women to have higher ambitions and to prove that they can deliver in the same way as men do.
Yes, but there is a real longing to build up a kind of a higher education community, a North and South united, you know, with initiatives that women can, for example, women can take together. Will UNESCO could be a help in that kind of
organization? Oh, absolutely. During my campaign, I visited 47 countries. Most of them are countries from the South. I went and visited the 12 African countries. There is overall demand of having more science, starting from how to integrate science at the secondary education and moving to the higher. All these countries are very much cognizant and aware that without doing this, they will never get out of poverty and out of this development. And UNESCO will promote definitely partnerships between North and South. So UNESCO is about this building bridges and having more international cooperation.
Yes, so more than ever, UNESCO, we help people to be able to express themselves, to have a real voice, to make them real actors in their societies because of with the help of education, of higher basic education, higher education, and research. So it is often said, as we are drawing to the conclusion of this conversation, it is often said that exchanges of goods and services, commerce, is the best way to pacify the world. Now more attention is paid to the fact that cultures too, and exchanges between cultures, is a very good way to further mutual understanding. What kind of specific role UNESCO could play of that? Of course, it's a place in which culture we can talk to one another. But what kind of specific initiatives can be taken? For example, between countries in conflict, how UNESCO can help to build bridges, furthering intellectual, cultural, educational, perhaps scientific initiatives? How?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that my my big ambition is to open this house, to open UNESCO, to that UNESCO becomes really a house of the academics, of the intellectuals, of people who are interested in cultural exchange. UNESCO is about building bridges, about tolerance, about respect for other cultures. It's extremely important in our world to have such exchanges. I don't believe in the theories about clash of civilizations. I have said it many times. I don't believe in the theory that there are different civilizations and different worlds which don't have anything to do among themselves. I believe in the constant exchange and in the constant enrichment between different cultures and different continents. I think also, I believe in the diversity. I think that the world is great because we are diverse and we have to respect each other, and especially in cultural terms. I'm against the uniformity of the world, and we may have globalization and quick exchange of information, of goods and services, but we should not allow that cultures disappear and that languages disappear. I think that we have to profit from this richness, and through our activities at UNESCO, the message of UNESCO should be about respect for diversity, respect of the cultures, about more exchange, about more bridges, because after all, we are one humanity. And if you allow me to share with you, we all candidates, we had to present our visions to the executive board, how we see the future of UNESCO and the role of UNESCO. The title of my vision was UNESCO in a Globalized World, New Humanism for the 21st Century. I think, especially after the crisis in this globalized world, we have to show more solidarity, we have to show more tolerance, we have to show more respect towards each other, and finally be united in this around these common values that we have as humanity.
But the sharing of experience and sharing of values, it has to be kept with a defense of very fundamental universal values, or values that can be, that must be enforced everywhere.
Yeah, I agree. Human dignity and tolerance and respect for others and basic rights as we know them, basic human rights, of course. And at the same time, having in mind these very high values, these very high goals that we share, we have to work to transform societies so that societies adopt it. It's not enough in my mind just to declare them and to say we attach them. We have to work to transform societies so that societies accept them and their values as well.
That's a wonderful future. So more than ever, we rejoice, Irina Bokova, that you are at the head of the UNESCO to accomplish the job. More than ever, we trust UNESCO and we trust you. Good luck and take care.
Thank you very much. And I think that the forum, Women's Forum, can come to UNESCO also. I wanted the house to be open, and I would very much like also to make a joint conference on a panel, a discussion. So I invite you all and the Women's Forum to come to UNESCO next year.
Answers.